In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, 3 days after the celebration of the ascension of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, to sit on the right hand of the Father, and 7 days before the celebration of the Feast of Pentecost, we remember the first council of the whole church. The council was held in 325. And at that council, over 300 of the bishops that had gathered from all over the Christian world wrote down a summary of the Christian faith that we call the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed. The first council was held at the city of Nicaea. The second was held in 381, within the same century, in the city of Constantinople, and that's why we call the creed by that name. Most of the creed was written at the first council, and that was confirmed, and more words were added that were necessary about the Holy Spirit in Constantinople in 381. We still sing today, as the Orthodox Church always has, that creed. I believe in one God. In the words of that creed are those things that if we depart from them, if we depart from the reality of them, not if we simply depart from the words, but if we depart from the reality of them, salvation becomes impossible. Now, of course, if the words are changed and the creed is handed down with changed words, then the question is whether we are going to receive the fullness of the faith that is summarized in the words of the creed. And in the 6th century, the words of the creed were changed for the first time in the West, in Spain. In Latin, the words that were added were just one word, filioque. It means, and the Son. Instead of the creed reading that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father, with the addition of this Latin word, the creed read that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. The effort was being made to make sure that people knew that the Holy Spirit was divine. There was no question about the divinity of Christ. But then the problem always was, for so many, that the question was about the humanity of Christ. That's the way it was in the ancient world. These days, there are lots of groups who think of Jesus Christ as merely a human being, not the Son of God. In fact, just the other day, one of those people came to my door, knocked on the door. It was a Jehovah's Witness. Probably they've come to your door. They reject the creed. They say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. They reject the teaching of the Holy Trinity. They say that God is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They do have the idea that Jesus Christ has ruled from the kingdom of heaven since, not as you might think, since the ascension, but since October 1914. I'm not sure, you know, about the theology behind that. But they completely reject the teaching of the creed. But certainly it wasn't the first time that the creed was questioned. The addition of those words make a difference. Certainly, the understanding that Jesus Christ is not the incarnate Son of God, it strips us of our salvation. It was only because there was a man who still lives, who at the same time is God incarnate, that our salvation is possible. The Son of God became incarnate and walked amongst us, not to give us laws to control our lives, because laws didn't work. They couldn't transform us. He walked amongst us and revealed to us our full and perfect humanity. No sin in him. Sin has nothing to do with our humanity. He revealed to us how to avoid sin and death and live the life that God has created us to live. And those who live that life are Christians. He made it possible for us to live that life. How absurd it is for a man to stand at the door of an Orthodox Christian priest, opening his Bible to try to convince an Orthodox priest that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and that we do not have the salvation that is our faith through Jesus Christ. Through confusion and pride, people have changed the words of the creed, or misinterpreted them, or ignored them. But it's possible for us too to miss the point of the doctrine of our own faith. What if someone were to come into the Orthodox Church from one of those denominations around us who believes once saved, always saved? We're not. What if someone were to come in to the Orthodox Church and believe that because they do the formalities of Orthodox Christian life, that they're okay? We're not. It has to do with the reality of salvation and receiving it and accepting it and living in it. And that fact is enshrined in the symbol of faith, the creed. When the West changed the creed, and there is no Western church that does not use the Filioque, that uses the creed. They all use the Filioque. It was handed from the Roman Catholic Church down to all of the Protestant churches, what we call the mainline Protestant churches, what people do. They all use the creed with the words and the Son. So what's the big deal? Maximus the Confessor, when he heard about the addition of the Filioque, said that, well, there is maybe a way to understand it that it is not heretical. If we were to think when we read and the Son, we were to realize that the reality is that our salvation, because that's what is at issue here, change the creed, misunderstand the doctrines and teachings of the faith, and your salvation is lost. So that's what's at stake here. He said, if you understand it like this, that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son, and we receive our salvation from the Father through the Son, and we live our salvation in the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit cleanses us, then that saying of the creed might be not heretical. Of course, it was decreed at the First Ecumenical Council that no one should ever change a word of the creed. There is still that. But what would this be about? Our salvation from the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. Orthodox say that everything that God has ever done, he has done in that way. He created the world in that way. The creation of the world was accomplished from the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And our salvation is accomplished the same way. It's accomplished the same way when it comes to the incarnation of the Son of God. God had to become incarnate in order that we could have salvation, which is life with him. And that had to be through our humanity. And so he took on our humanity. He emptied himself. The word in Greek is kenosis. He emptied himself by taking on our humanity. It's only by self-emptying, by kenosis, that we can leave our fallen humanity behind and take on his perfect humanity. That's where we meet. Through the Son, through our perfect humanity in the Son of God incarnate. That's the meeting place between man and God. That is where our salvation takes place. If he's not the Son of God, or if the Holy Spirit is simply sent from the Father and the Son into the world, where is the incarnation? Where is the transformation of our humanity? Where is the possibility of our transforming our own humanity at one with his perfect humanity? Instead, you have total confusion. And the understanding of the doctrine and teaching of all of the apostles and of St. Paul from the beginning, that our salvation is by cooperation, by the word Paul uses, synergia with God. It becomes impossible. Once that doctrine is taught, we can no longer understand the New Testament. And how many of us misunderstand the fact of our salvation and what is really involved with it? Someone might ask, when it comes to this kenosis, when it comes to this self-emptying, and the word humility, yeah, it covers it, but is it sufficient? Humility is not simply a virtue. Humility is the result of our emptying of ourselves, as God emptied himself to become Jesus Christ, to take on our humanity, so we must empty ourselves of the old Adam, of our pride. That's a death. Anyone who has experienced even the touch of it knows that there is a death involved there. What if we don't do it? Are we saved anyway? Some kind of orthodox version of once saved, always saved, because you are orthodox? The only clear answer that I know to that question is one of Bishop Callisto's Ware's favorite stories. And if you've listened to his sermons and lectures and talks, you've heard it many times. And it comes from Dostoevsky about the old woman and her onion. That one time, this old woman, selfish as she was, gave an onion to someone who was passing by who needed food. And when she was in the fires of the result of her life, she called out to heaven, and an angel came down. And the angel pulled forth this onion and said, I have this onion which you once gave to someone. And the woman took hold of it and was going to be pulled out of hell for the sake of that one instance of self-emptying. Just one. Now, if there had been none, how about that? Once saved, always saved? There's got to be some time, at least one. That's as close as we can come. But we are not meant to live our lives in the midst of a living death, a foretaste of hell, and only one time empty ourselves in the least kind of way, because the touch of the death of pride and self-love and vanity are too painful. That's a rejection of salvation. It's a rejection of our whole life. It has to do with the reality of things, not with some kind of formal doctrine or teaching that, as in the West, has made God's incarnation and his call to us to come into him and to receive the salvation of actually living the life that God gave us to live. Instead of that, what you have in the West is this formal theology. You are saved even though you are corrupt, and synergy with God is impossible to you. In the end, you will be saved. How can someone leave that behind and come into orthodoxy and be satisfied with the consolation that if at least there is one onion, I will be all right? I mean, you know, what happened to the woman when she was going to be pulled out? Others started to come to her, to want to grab hold of her. And we're taught that had she permitted that, they would have been pulled out too. But instead she said, go away. This is my onion. This is my salvation. And so she dropped back into the fires. So you see, there is no orthodox way. to have that kind of salvation. It's got to be real. There's never a point where we can say to ourselves, I know I'm okay now because I did. And as soon as we do that, we are ascribing it to ourselves. It's no longer a true and real example of self-emptying. You see, you can't play the odds. So during this week, between when we celebrated the ascension of the Son of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, to sit on the right hand of his Father, and the feast day of Pentecost, let's consider whether or not we are actually living the lives of Orthodox Christians. Are we making any effort at all? Or do we feel better because we have the consolation of the cycle of the fasts and Pascha? We celebrate it. It's joyful. And then we have all of the other feasts. We come to confession. We come to communion. We present ourselves to the world as Orthodox. But where's the reality? There is no way for an Orthodox person to distance themselves from Christ. When Jesus Christ ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father, he had changed. He changed. We need to change. How had he changed? He had the physical body of a human being. He had never had the physical body of a human being before, when he previously sat at the right hand of the Father, before he became incarnate. He ascended with that physical body. A physical body as human physical bodies are meant to be, so distant from our understanding of the physical body of the human being. He had a human soul. He had a human mind. He had a human will. And to be at one with him, it's not enough to be at one with him at the chalice by receiving his body. We must also share the soul that we were created to have. We must also share the mind that we were created to have. The mind of Christ is meant to be our mind. And the will that he has, the will of God, is meant to be our will. We have got to share those things. Really. Not just as a hedge bet. On Wall Street they have something. You know, there's a hedge, you know. There's no hedge. There's no way to hedge. Not possible. It has got to be the reality. He changed, emptied himself, become of one of us. We must change, empty ourselves of our old lives, and become like him. Now, if we want to console ourselves with the fact that one real onion, maybe what, an organic onion? You know, the real one. It may be enough. Don't despair. But there's no fudging it. There's no faking it. We have to really do it. The transformation has to at least begin. And we need to return to it. As we prepare to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit, when we will kneel again for the first time since the Great Lent, and call upon God to send the Holy Spirit down upon us. Let's remember that God the Father sends the Holy Spirit down upon us through the humanity of the Son to our humanity, that our humanity might be transformed to be in synergy with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.